Welcome to Garage Cast. This is at least episode 28 of AIM Expo Las Vegas.
Something along that line. 28, 29, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Got another super cool guest in Pat Hoose. Not Hughes. Pat Hoose.
Yes, sir.
Very interesting guest. Different from our previous guest.
Is he from Look Bicycles?
He's not from Look He's Bicycles. Not.
You want to get the bicycles right
from
on the
Felt Bicycles.
Felt Bicycles.
Yes, from Felt Bicycles.
So Sam was doing cartwheels, jumping up and down with his elbows above his shoulders for this interview because it's bicycles.
We're going to do our best to get new thinking out there. There's going to be discussions centered around growth and new thinking. That's where those great ideas come from, exploring them together.
Nuggets that you can go back and put into your dealership that'll help you make more money.
This is Garage Cast.
Sam and I are actually both super big fans of bicycles. Sam's obviously an avid road biker. I'm an avid mountain biker. Thanks for stopping by and talking with us. Give us an idea of kind of what you do and who you are in the industry, how you got here, and then we want to throw a couple questions your way.
And how Felt fits into this conversation and this where we are today.
Yeah. So I'm an industry guy for past 40-plus years. Dad bought a bike shop when I was 14, Southern California. Been in it ever since. Came up through the retail ranks, independent sales rep, joined Cannondale in Cannondale's heyday in the 80s, where it went from a $30 million company to a $200 million company.
Woo.
I was part of the motorcycle debacle at Cannondale.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a whole other, that's ATVs. Its own podcast, I think. I've been with a number of really great brands throughout my career. Most recently was at Bianchi as the CEO for North America. And I got a knock on the door from the good folks at KTM that there was an opportunity as part of the acquisition that KTM, Pierre New Mobility, did of buying Felt, that they were looking for some leadership and somebody to help guide the organization in the bicycle space, but also within the motorcycle space.
Yeah.
And so when I looked at the opportunity, I said, man, this is a no-brainer. I need to make that leap.
Yeah.
And I've been here for basically a year and a half now, and some great opportunities in a very challenging environment.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I tell you, the bicycle industry in general has been very challenging, right? Without the protections of the OEM franchise rules and stuff like that. But I'm going to rewind the clock here back to 2022 when I came out and did the national sales event for you guys. And you guys being the KTM, Gas, Husqvarna, and Felt bicycles in the same lineup with electric bicycles coming in from Gas, Husqvarna, and Felt, all of the above, right? And we have talked about an electric bicycle is by definition a motorcycle. There is a motor inside of a two-wheeled cycle. And we've been on a push for how does that fit in the power sports world. And I gave a presentation about being committed to a cycling lifestyle as like a store inside of a store in the power sports store. But I think, Tony, you would agree with me that we have not seen very many success stories with bicycle stores inside of motorcycle stores.
Yeah, you know, and that is the press that I'm getting out of the peer advisor groups, our 20 clubs, is, man, we tried it. You guys were talking about e-bikes. You were talking about pedal bikes, which you and I will not call
acoustic.
Analog or acoustic.
Acoustic. I think Heinz came up with that.
The best one yet, I was telling Tony, Amish bikes.
Oh, my God.
Because they don't have motors.
It's just a bike. It's a bicycle, right? So, anyway, the press I'm getting.
So good.
Yeah. The press I'm getting is, hey, listen, we tried it. It didn't work. You know, I was left with inventory. Whether it was that we didn't have the passionate salesperson, whether it was a pain in the ass and a confusing part of where do I service these because I'm bringing them into power sports. I wouldn't call it negative press. It was we have tried it. We're going away from it. And so I just want to make sure that the elephant in the room from at least some of our clients, not all of them, is that, you know, I think we're going to move on. And what we want to do is get you on to discuss maybe your philosophy on this.
No, it's an interesting time. If you go back to pandemic, what happened, of course, motorcycle dealers, bicycle dealers, anything with two wheels was gone. You put it on the floor, it's gone. So it attracted a lot of new participants, including the motorcycle channel.
Yeah.
And for a good period of time, it was that case. We were anything, when I came on board here, every motorcycle dealer was clamoring for more bicycles, and whatever they put out sold. It was gone. Now we're at a point now where that low-hanging fruit, that easy sale,
right,
it's gone. You
it's gone too.
Yeah, and the same thing in the motorcycle world. And so you have to work a little bit harder at it. The beauty of our situation as KTM and Pierre New Mobility is those motorcycle dealers are our partner retailers to begin with. And we've got some amazing success stories of motorcycle dealers within our organization that have had tremendous success with bicycles. But they're doing something different than the norm.
Yes.
They've hired bicycle people. They have technical support. They're out at the events. They're out promoting that they're in the bicycle business. They have become bicycle stores, and they're competing with the independent bike retailer. They made a commitment. That's a different than sitting there, hey, I bought six Specialized and I'm waiting for them to be sold off my floor. That's not happening today. You have to make the effort, no question.
So what I'm hearing, Pat, and there's a subtlety in what you're saying here, because we have had dealers, you know, we can go over to the Harley Davidson side of the fence and some of them are taking on the Intense bikes and sponsored through Tucker and stuff. And it didn't work because they were Harley stores and they just happened to put them on there. And then you've got the guys that are playing bicycle by putting some, whatever the brands they carried, right? Mainstream bicycle lines, offshoot motorcycle brands, or some of the Chinese brands that are in there, right? And they put them on their showroom floor in the motorcycle dealerships, and they didn't work. And some of them have gone so far as to create a bicycle shop inside of their motorcycle shop, and they didn't work. But I think what I'm hearing you say is you've got to be involved in the bicycling community.
That's right.
To make it work.
That's right.
That's a missing ingredient.
And you have to have the expertise within the store. So a customer today, if they're looking for an e-bicycle, what's the first thought? The first thought is to go to a bicycle store, not to a motorcycle dealer.
Right.
Unless you are out there connecting to that community, they're not going to know. But here's the beauty of our connection. We have the distribution that our competitors in the bike business all want, because we have the best motorcycle dealers in the country. But the crossover between motorcycle and bicycle, you've talked to it. I know you speak to it at your conferences and everything. That's the number one activity that motorcycle riders do in the off season is they're on their e-bikes, they're on their bicycles.
Yeah.
So that opportunity, those guys are walking through your doors, Mr. Motorcycle Dealer. They're not walking through the IBD doors. You need to make sure they know to think of you first when it comes to buying a bicycle.
Right.
And that's a missing piece today, in my opinion. But you look at TJ's in Texas, you look at Carl's in Boise, Hutch's in Massachusetts, AEO in our own backyard in Southern California. They're having success because they're making that extra effort, and their guys are out there telling them, come to us.
And these are power sports dealers.
These are power sports retailers that have made the commitment to bicycles, and they're winning. They're making nice, attractive margins. They're promoting. They're making that category a viable piece of their overall business. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, Pat, so you said something there that a lot of people may not be familiar with, which is that there's a tremendous crossover between the rider, particularly in the off-road segment.
For right? Sure.
When I went to GNCC and we saw that off-road, 4,000 dirt bike riders tearing up a track together, and the compound, I call it a compound, right? Because they're all staying in their RVs, and imagine 4,000 riders and or their families staying in these massive RVs. You can imagine the territory and how much acreage you need to put them up for the weekend in the middle of nowhere, right? And how are they getting to the start line? How are they getting to the concession stands? And how are they getting to the registration booth? And the answer is every one of them had an electric bicycle. I'm like, here's your customer base. I've been wondering who the electric bicycle customer base is. Here it is right here. It's the people who show up at these dirt bike events. And now we're just talking with Zach here in a little bit from KTM. And he was talking about, you know, dirt bikes and particularly competitive dirt bikes have been on the rise lately. That's been a really increasing segment along with adventure motorcycle riders. And who's riding e-bikes? It's that category of rider. So I hear you saying that's a massive opportunity if that's a segment that you sell to, that e-bike is still a viable option inside of your power sports store.
Without a doubt. In fact, at GNCC, you can't go ride the course on a motorcycle before the event. So everybody, they are allowed to go ride it on an e-bike. So everybody has bought an e-bike to go ride the courses in the GNCC world. It's kind of a no-brainer. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's one category. You know, these bikes they're just flat out fun. And that consumer that's walking through your door is interested in an e-bike. And if you have tools to help them get on that e-bike, get them out, take them out for a demo ride, get them out riding the bike, offer financing. You have it through your motorcycles. Well, these are $5,000-$10,000 bicycles. They're not that much different than a motorcycle.
Right.
Offer your financing. There are tools today that can help you drive bicycles just like motorcycles.
So I got a question. What's your answer to the service dilemma? Right. We have level A technicians, B technicians, C technicians that are trying to work their way into A positions. They have to go to school for Honda, Yamaha, Harley Davidson, whatever it might be, right? And now we have these bikes that we sold at a really high price point. We financed them. They bring them in for service. My guys have no clue how to work on a bicycle. What's the answer to the service dilemma?
It's a multi-pronged, in my opinion. The simplest approach is to find somebody in the community that is a motorcycle guy, but it's also an e-bike or a bicycle person. They're out there. So try to find that person, because that person's going to drive the enthusiasm and excitement in the store to begin with. But if outside of that, there is training within the bike industry. There are places that do bicycle education, starting with analog, you know, non-electric bikes.
Oh,
I'm turning it off right now.
Acoustic. Jesus. It's like a guitar.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bosch, Shimano, Yamaha, they all offer training on their e-bikes, their motors, their batteries. It's out there. The knowledge is out there, but you have to invest. You have to make the commitment. And it's really a question of commitment, in my opinion. Yeah, there are categories out there in motorcycle that maybe they didn't work. But do you just throw in the towel, or do you make further investment and make the commitment? Because the margins and the success that you can have in bicycles, it's significant.
Well, on an ancillary product, right? It's a bolt-on product to the business you're already doing in a very similar, you know, sales, P&A, service, F&I,
right.
Huge profitability center in F&I,
yep.
In the bikes, in the cycling world. And again, $6,000 to $10,000 major units are what they are, right? Imagine, look what your F&I per unit sold looks like on some of these dirt bikes that are out there, and you got the same opportunity here.
Yep.
I'm kind of curious. Well, you know what? As you talked about service, I'm sitting here thinking about watercraft. You're going to go out and find a hydrotech for your watercraft business, right? And so why wouldn't we find, if this is an ancillary part of the business, a separate tech for that business? So
I would say because those that are in the water business are making millions of dollars in the water. So I think the culture is, if you're going to go for it and you're going to be in it,
yep.
You got to be in it.
You got to be in.
Yeah, you got to be in.
Well, so that brings me to my next question here, Pat, which is those four or five dealers that you talked about seeing tremendous success as power sport dealers with bicycles inside of them. How many bicycles are we selling out of those? What's the volume potential out of one of those stores?
If you're talking about those ones that I mentioned,
yeah.
they're selling 50 to 100 bicycles on a yearly basis. But again, these are $3,000 to $10,000 bicycles. So those are not numbers to, you know, scoff at. Those are solid numbers in that world.
It's funny. When we were talking to Blazek from KTM, and we were talking about $15,000 dirt bikes, and now we're talking about $10,000 bicycles, which, hey man,
I freely will say
I have a mountain bike that was $13,000. It's worth every damn penny of it as well. So I get it. Yeah. So, hey man, anything else to say about 2024 before we cut you loose?
Yeah, no, 2024 is going to be a very interesting year for the bicycle world as well as the motorcycle world. We're already starting to see it, but I think the companies and the ones that get it and make the effort and go out and create experience for their consumers, they're the ones that are going to win. That's the game. That's the piece that they have to play with, is creating experience.
Yeah.
Get your customers in. Get them out on an e-bike. Have demos ready. Tell them to take it home for the weekend. And bring it back. Tell them, and I guarantee I have yet to meet anybody that comes back from riding an e-bike without a giant smile on their face going, I got to get one of these.
That's the puppy dog clothes right there. You know, we're sitting here at the motorcycle industry event, AIM Expo, here in Las Vegas. And what do we see right down, less than a half a football field away from us, is the track for all the electric bicycles to go ripping around on right here on premise. Because you're right. You ride it and they're just giddy. They're fun.
Yes.
Pat Hoos. Really appreciate you taking time to come and talk with us. I hope you're having a good show. For Sam Dantzler and Pat Hoos, I'm Tony Gonzalez. This has been GarageCast.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.